Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Nope. Hey, welcome into the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, presented by Alpha. I am Randy Bergen, sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach Rick, we're all hoping for a speedy recovery for you from your knee surgery. So what do I get to do? I get to hang out with the man, the myth, the legend, Coach Mark Lassiter, in the house. Coach, how you doing, my brother?
Man, I am doing great. It's great to be here, and I'm going to reiterate that. Rick, hope you get well soon, buddy. And get back with us. We're missing you here, and everybody in Radio Land out there is missing him as well.
There's no question about that. You know, and I said this last week, when the cat's away, the mice will play, and we're going to do that. Boy, we got a lineup for you today.
Yeah,
I want to tell you, it's going to be a good one. Let's just go ahead and go through it. Let's just jump into it. All right. I got to tell you, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Coach Ryan Lolly. Now, he's the head football coach for the Green Wave of Gordo.
Yeah.
I can't wait to talk to him, and we're going to throw back probably a little memory like we shared last week with Gordo. But here's a guy that Gordo goes into 4A last year and the 4A classification from 3A, and he steps right in there and gets Coach of the Year award for 4A.
Absolutely. He's done a great job since he's been at Gordo, and he loves it there and does a fantastic job. It's a great program. It's a program that's steeped in history. In fact, my old high school coach coached there in the early part of his career back in the 60s, and that was Coach John Meadows. But anyway, so I kind of have an idea what knew about Gordo a little bit, but wow, what a great job Coach Lolly's done. His teams are always ready and always prepared.
And let me tell you, when you go play in Gordo, there's some stadiums that you've played that you've coached against, and you know whenever you go in there, buddy, you better be ready. Prattville would be one of those.
Yes.
Okay. And when you step in there, Gordo was absolutely no exception to that rule. That's a tough place to go and get a win.
Well, that's one of those places. The old adage about all the lights are out and town shut down for the night because everybody's at the ball game.
Right. Where was that? Where was that we did that with Bayside? Oh my goodness! It was up past Andalusia.
And
Strawn. I mean, they shut down
absolutely
everything. Shut down. Absolutely. No
question. I wish they'd have stayed at home. They were pretty good that year.
That's right. All right. Hey, coming up, so we'll look forward to talking with Coach Ryan Lolly at the bottom of the hour at 8:45. We're going to be talking to my podsy on my show, Southern Fairways Golf Show. Danny Spivey is going to be on with us. Now, Danny played golf 4 years at the University of Alabama, just an outstanding golfer, and has a lot to do with junior golf. And we're going to talk some junior golf with him. He's probably got a couple of tips that'll help your game if you're into golf. Maybe you're just getting started, which is something we'll talk about also on our show that you can hear on the same stations tomorrow from 11 to 1. We have David Musial that comes on with us, and David's going to be on the show here with us pretty soon as well. But he does a Golf for Dummies, and it is absolutely fantastic if you're new to the game of golf. And even if you're not new, maybe you just need some refreshing course, a little refresher course, he can do that for you. But we'll talk with Danny about junior golf, some tips, and one of our favorite topics. You know he's an executive chef, right?
No.
Did you not know that?
No.
The boy can cook. So we're going to talk some food with him also. Yes, we'll talk some food with him.
Dang.
It's, look, between Boom and Danny, that's why I carry this physique right here, brother. All right, and then, hey, in our second hour, I'm going to tell you, and I'm excited about PSR having this new segment, The Legends. And we're going to talk with a true coaching legend, the winningest coach in Alabama high school football history. Coach Buddy Anderson is going to be on at the top of the hour. You will not want to miss that interview.
No, you won't. Buddy is and I think I've told this story on here before, and I'll say it again to him. My first job interview out of college in 1982 was with the head coach and athletic director at Vestavia Hills, Buddy Anderson, in 1982.
Wow.
And he retired at the end of this last school year.
49 years he walked those sidelines of Vestavia Hills. Think about that for just a minute.
Think
49
about it.
Years. And all, I think one of the things, I was doing a little homework on him, and I got to do hear a couple of clips, audio clips and video and all of that. And the biggest thing I think I got out of all of that is how many young men he touched, not just on the football field, but on his couch at his house on Wednesday nights.
Absolutely. He did that all throughout his career. think he had FCA Bible study, a type of Bible study that they did, and just that's the man he was. And he Buddy Anderson is exactly what you see is exactly what you get. He is no fake in any way, shape, or form. Everything is straight down the line. He's going to tell you how he sees it. He believes in God and follows that path to the letter, and he teaches his kids that. How far does that line go?
Oh, yeah.
They start teaching their kids, well, this is what Coach taught me.
That's right. You got to love that ripple effect.
Oh, man.
That ripple effect.
Absolutely.
Now, I did understand that he would not get on a referee. Is that correct?
No, he'll get on
a referee. Yes. I was being facetious.
Now, I think he and Phil Lazenby played college ball together.
Oh, is that right?
At Samford back in the early 70s, I think. I think he's a little bit ahead of Phil, a couple of years ahead of
right.
Phil.
Well, that's going to be fun. I got to be honest with you. Coach Buddy Anderson on the show today, top of the second hour. We'll have him for 30 minutes, and it'll be fun to catch up with him and just go through all of the names, all the players that have gone through there and how he has lived his life. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And, then, of course, at 9:45, we'll have the faith segment.
That's correct. We're going to have a little bit. I'm going to start the Father's Day, try to do things from Father's Day today and next Saturday. Father's Day is coming up in 2 weeks. And
it's my son's birthday.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But Father's Day is a pretty special day at our house. And not for me. It's for my kids.
Really?
That's for me. That's where the great part of Father's Day is, because I get to know that I'm their daddy, and I love being their daddy.
That is so awesome. That is so. Now, will your boys be home with you?
I hope so. I think they are. I think they're coming in town. You never know. You know, they live their own lives, and if they can make it, we hope so. If not, we'll figure out something, but they should be there.
Well, that ought to be a lot of fun. Hey, we want to welcome all of our friends along the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. You're listening to us on FM Talk 106.5, and certainly to our good friends in Central Alabama, Birmingham, Montgomery, Prattville, Lake Martin, Auburn, and Sylacauga, all the places in between there. You got us tuned into Fox Sports Central Alabama 98.3. Glad to have you on board with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know what, Coach? I'm going to do something today. You mentioned the FCA, and if you look to your right there, there's an FCA Bible. We've got a stack of them, okay? FCA New Testament. And I think what I'd like to do today, if you're okay with it, is maybe give one of those away.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that during the show today. Okay, so go ahead and write down this number if you've got a pen, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. We'll give one of those away, maybe in each hour. Let's see. We've got a stack of them,
great.
So it ought to be pretty neat. And if you hadn't read it, it's a pretty good book. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah, the New Testament's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It is a lot of hope in the New Testament, a lot of hope, a lot of lessons to be learned. But it's a great read, you know, and something that I don't read enough. I read clips. I need to read the story, the whole thing, you know, and then spend time in certain books. Also, at 9:30 today, Tim Carter from Fairhope is going to join us. I don't think I told you about
Tim.
He's going to join us at 9:30, the head football coach at Fairhope, kind of give us an update of what's going on at Fairhope High School, what they're doing this summer. He's going to be, he said he was traveling to Auburn today, so we'll catch him on the ride. So it'll be good to talk with Coach Carter, one of my favorite guys.
Well, he is a, and that's a place he's very familiar with, is Auburn, right?
Is.
So, yeah, he's a good guy. And he does a lot with kids.
He does a lot with kids. He's one of the best coaches around. I understand. Farrell is very fortunate to have Tim Carter as their head football coach.
Well, it'll be fun to talk with him at 9:30.
Yes,
so, I'm telling you, an all-star lineup for you today. So you won't want to miss any part of it. And by the way, let me just mention something that FM Talk 106.5 did. They just came out with. They came out with a brand new app. Now, folks, let me tell you, if you've got your smartphone, you go to your Play Store, whatever it is, okay, and search FM Talk 106.5. When you find the app, just download it, all right? You'll be able to hear live programming, podcasts of all the shows. You can go back and listen to this show, all right? And there's so much more. It's very, very cool. Go to your Play Store, FM Talk 106.5, download it today. It is you got to give Dalton Orwig just kudos on this. He worked very hard to get this done, and I'll tell you, once you do it, you really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, Dalton does a great job putting things together and keeping the site going and updating the new stuff all the time, so people can find out what's going on on 106.5 FM Talk Radio.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, Coach, hey, look, I know we're going to be taking a timeout, our first timeout, coming up in just a moment, but I want to get into some things whenever we come back. Of course, Philip Rivers, the 2021 Pro Football Writers Good Guy Award.
Right.
That's awesome. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll talk about some recruiting when we come back, all right? You've got it tuned in to PSR, Prep Sports Report, right here on FM Talk 106.5 and 98.3.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
There it is right there. Little Steely Dan. Man, it does not get much, but what a way to start your Saturday morning. Little Steely Dan, a little PSR, and we certainly welcome you back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen, sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland. Of course, Coach Mark Lassiter here, and Coach Rick, we'll say it every time we turn the mic back on, man, we're hoping for a speedy recovery for you, man. I know that knee has been painful and had the surgery, and hopefully you'll get back real soon and come play some golf with us. Hey, do you need help in your business or family life with your state or national government? If so, please call our friend Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan, a member of the U.S. Congress for 30 years, have teamed up to put you in front of the right people in either Montgomery or Washington, D.C. It's all about relationships, and Braxton and Jimmy have those relationships in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Call Braxton Counts, 251-476-9900. All right, Coach, we've got a few minutes here. Again, if you are just joining us, we certainly want to welcome you to the Prep Sports Report. Coming up in the next segment, Coach Ryan Lolly, head football coach for the Green Wave of Gordo. He's going to be on with us at 8:45. Danny Spivey, my posse on our show, Southern Fairways Golf Show. We'll talk some junior golf with him and talk about some tips. And also, Dan being an executive chef, we'll talk some food with him. You have to do that.
Absolutely.
And then in the 9 o'clock, top of the second hour, wonderful segment, brand new segment, The Legends. And we're going to talk with a true coaching legend, the winningest coach in Alabama high school football history, Coach Buddy Anderson. He's going to be on with us top of the hour. You will not want to miss that. Over 345 wins, walked the sidelines of Vestavia Hills for 49 years. Think about that for just a second. That's incredible. And then at the bottom of our second hour, Coach Tim Carter, the head football coach for Fairhope, he's going to be on with us. And then one of the favorite segments on the Prep Sports Report, the Faith segment at 9:45, Coach.
Yeah, we're going to talk about fathers today just a little bit. And like I said a minute ago, that's near and dear to my heart, being a father and then being a son of my hero, my dad, who, you know, thank the good Lord, is still with us. He's 86 years old, lives in Birmingham, and hope to see him in a couple of weeks. And that's just that's pretty special.
Yeah, I know it is, brother. I know it is. Hey, you know, we mentioned we're going to give away an FCA Sports New Testament. We're going to do that in just a few moments. So go ahead and get your fingers ready at 251-343-0106. Brand new FCA Sports New Testament. It is really, really a fine book. We want to thank our friends over at the FCA, Dennis Hayford and his staff. They are so instrumental in what they do. And, boy, I'll tell you, just a great guy.
Absolutely. Does a great job with the FCA and what they do in our area is unbelievable. You know, a good friend of mine, Al Ernest, was worked there for a while. And what a great man Al Ernest is. And then he, during COVID, he got back into coaching.
He's on that Fairhope staff, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He went back, and I was fortunate enough to have Al there. And when I first went to Fairhope in 2001, and man, what a great coach and great man. I really think the world out.
He's a good guy. They're just fantastic. All right, we're going to get into Philip Rivers here, but let's go ahead and give away this FCA Sports New Testament. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. We'll take the third phone call. 251-343-0106. All right, Philip Rivers, he gets voted for the 2021 Pro Football Writers Good Guy Award. Coach, that's a neat award for a professional football player.
It absolutely is, and I saw this article, and what hit me was, and I've kind of kept up with Philip Rivers since he's from the state of Alabama throughout his career, and I just was, you never heard anything negative about his conduct, his family, his moral belief, ethical belief, anything like that. You never heard that. Now, did he always play a great game of football? No, he didn't. Everybody has failures. Sure. But every year you hear, and shame on us for being, oh, did you hear the bad thing that happened to so-and-so? Did you hear this horrible thing that did, what this guy did and that guy did and the negative aspect of everything? And things like this go without being, you don't hear anything about it. You got a nice article in AL.com. Thank goodness they brought it out there. But you don't hear enough about this guy gets beat, get his fanny whipped in a football game, walks into the press conference, and is professional. Likable. He may not want to be there, but he's not going to let them know that. He's going to do his job. And that, to me, and he's the father of nine.
Oh,
now, what a message he teaches his kids. What a message he's going to teach the kids at St. Michael's. Now, I'm not saying he didn't talk a lot during football games.
Sure.
He had a good time when he was out there. But at the same time, he was never one of those guys who ever crossed the line. And just, you know, and so I saw this and I thought it was important that we say something about Philip Rivers today.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. And we all know, if you watch the news, good news doesn't sell. It's all bad news.
I know,
okay?
Isn't it horrible?
It is. And we won't get into the political side of all of that. But here, this is a fantastic award. It goes to a great guy. I mean, you know, he played his high school. He played at Athens. And of course, 17 years in the NFL, okay, quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And good guy. Glad to have him in Baldwin County. And as you mentioned, he'll be the head football coach for St. Michael's Catholic High in Fairhope.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be
– it's a growing place, growing school.
You'll get to face him quite a bit. So it should be a lot of fun.
It should be a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing – I want to learn from him. I'd like to go over there and – you know, anytime you can get an NFL quarterback to come and be in your area, you'd like to just sit down and pick his brain about things that they do. Because they, you know, the NFL comes up with new ways to do things, and you get to see it, you know, and learn from it and figure out if you can find one thing to help one of your players, then whatever time it took to get that done was well worth it.
Now I know with you and Coach Lasme, the staff there at Bayside, from time to time you might have somebody come in and talk with your players. Would that be a little odd having another coach come in and motivate or talk to your players?
You know, it's one of those things where you have to be comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
You have to feel like, you know, our program is what our program is, and we believe in our program. If Coach Laz wanted to bring another – Coach Laz wouldn't care. If he thought he's going to say something to help the lives of the children in our football program or in whatever program, do it. He would do – you know, Coach, that I believe – I think stuff like that. I don't think we do enough of that.
I agree. And I think part of it, too, is y'all have a lot in common in the fact that whenever you look at these classifications, 1, 2, 3, even 4A, a lot of your athletes are – 2-sport, 3-sport athletes, and they have to be, because you just don't have enough athletes to play in all the different sports. So I would think something like that, having somebody come in and say, hey, talk from them. Or, I mean, Coach Laz, you and Coach Laz, y'all do a great job over there. I'm not telling you how to coach over there, but I'm just saying there's got to be some motivation for some of these kids, because they get a little upset if they didn't. Maybe they're playing a little golf. They didn't do well there, but they played good basketball, whatever.
See, I think it's great when kids play multiple sports. And we are notorious at Bayside for pushing our kids. And we're always going to be known for that.
Right.
To stay on. We want them to play more. Because when in high school is the last chance you get to do that. After high school, you won't play multiple sports anymore. You're going to play one or none.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it's going to be. And so you can – it's just, to me, you want to have the whole experience. Do different things. Learn something from every game. Kenny Stabler, great pitcher, great quarterback. You know, the late Kenny Stabler. I think of him right off the bat. Mike Mordecai played at South Alabama, coached him when he was young. Great baseball player, great football player. Terrell Owens, great, loved basketball. Basketball was his first love. Made millions of dollars playing football.
There's not too many Bo Jacksons and Neon Deons either.
Oh, my gosh. Bo Jackson, I told this story. I watched him hit 3 home runs in a baseball game at McAdory High School. And that evening, I watched him win the 100-meter, 200-meter, and was part of the 4x100-meter relay race at a sectional track meet that carried them on. I mean, that's just the guy he was. That wasn't nothing that guy couldn't do.
How incredible was it to watch him live?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And I was out of college. I was coaching at that time, and I just happened to get to see him play. I went down and watched my brother. My brother was playing high school ball then, and he played against Bo Jackson. And he's got a story about that, about tackling him. One day. He said, actually, I didn't tackle him. He ran over me and fell down.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, look, we're going to take our second time out of the hour. When we come back, we'll visit with Coach Ryan Lolly, the head football coach for the Green Wave of Gordo. Stick around. It's more Prep Sports Report coming right here.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report. The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly, this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along. 'Cause every time I hear that song,
break it on down.
I go back to a two-tone short bench Chevy.
Hey, welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen, sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland. Of course, Coach Mark Glasser here with us. I want to remind you, Premier Collision is your local auto body repair shop, owned and operated locally in Mobile, Alabama, for all of your auto body collision repairs. Trust the experts at Premier Collision, your auto repair specialist. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, Mobile, Alabama. Give our friend Chris Garris a call, 251-478-4500. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. It is Premier Collision. All right, Coach, we are efforting to get in touch with Ryan Lolly.
He says, I'm trying to get in a better spot. He goes, I'm at my parents' house in North Alabama. Not much service. So I gave him the number. He's going to try to call us back in, but Okay. Hopefully we'll get a hold of him. And while we got a little second here waiting for Coach to get on, I want to thank another one of our sponsors at Old Time Feed and in Fairhope, my good friend Cecil Christenberry, and thank him for what he does for the kids in Fairhope. He's the board representative there at Fairhope High School and Fairhope Schools, and has a great business there. And he also helps father my son, my youngest works for him, and Cecil has helped in teaching him how to function in the working world. And we just appreciate him and the folks at Old Time Feed. Go out there and see them, those people on Greeno Road in Fairhope.
Sure.
Just a tremendous, tremendous business, and they do a great job.
Well, I'll tell you, he's a great guy.
There's no question about that.
He's
going
to put
a smile on your face.
That's exactly right. Again, I'm Randy Bergen, sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland and hoping for a speedy recovery. Mark Glasser, Coach Mark Glasser here with us. And let's go to our phone lines right now and welcome in the 4A Coach of the Year from Gordo High School, Coach Ryan Lolly. Coach, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great this morning. How about you guys?
Doing good, Coach. Boy, it's good to hear your voice. I hadn't seen you in a while. I hope you're doing well. Hope your family's all well.
Man, we're doing great, Coach. I hope you are, too.
Absolutely.
I don't miss playing y'all, though. I'm going to say that.
I promise you. After the last time we went up there, I don't ever want to see Gordo again.
Yeah.
Coach, tell us a little bit about
way more than we did, y'all. I know that.
Well, I tell you, you have done a fantastic job, you and your staff at Gordo. Tell us a little bit about coaching at Gordo. You know, I've known about Gordo since I was young. My high school coach coached at Gordo, and I think he was in the 60s. John Meadows is his name.
Oh yeah.
He coached me at Butler High School in Huntsville, and I knew a little. He used to tell stories about Gordo when I was in high school, and then we get to come up there and play several years ago. My son was on my team in 14. We went up there, and I was just amazed that, you know, the stadium and the fan support. And tell us a little about coaching at Gordo.
Well, first of all, Coach Meadows, you know, he's I've actually got a book he had wrote. I I don't know if you have it or not. If you don't, I need to get you a copy of it. There's a bunch of them out there around here. But Gordo's a special place to coach. I mean, I think as far as on the coaching side, it's probably one of the easiest places to coach because our kids, to me, are still like the old school type kids. They're going to show up. They're going to come and work. And that's the special thing about it. And you're going to have great players. And the success we've had, you know, it basically goes back to the kids that we have and the culture they've been raised in. And I just kind of fortunate enough to get a job here, and I've enjoyed every second of it. And, you know, you're going to have a little pressure to win, that's for sure. Now, that's one thing you're going to get here. But, you know, kind of like Coach Saban said, a lot of I don't know if I'd want to be anywhere that didn't have that. So it's a unique place. But you know, to me, which makes it so special, it all goes back to the players, the kids, and you know, the culture of our school in itself. That, you know, it's kind of like the main event there. Whether you're in, you know, a cheerleader or in the band or on the football team or you're a student, there's a lot of school pride still left in that place. And I think that's what kind of makes it unique, makes it different. And, you know, makes it somewhere you love, that you want to work and you want to be every day.
We're visiting with Gordo head football coach Ryan Lolly. Of course, got coach of the year, 4A. And coach, I want to ask you a question. You go from 3A to 4A and had an outstanding year last year, 13-2, if I've got that right. And you take Gordo for the first time as they move into that classification of 4A to a state title appearance. Talk about the difference and the challenges going from a 3A classification to a 4A classification.
Well, we had been in the 3A South, so we were prepared to play good people. I mean, 3A South was, you know, that's where we had been for, you know, the whole time I've been in, been the head coach. I've been there, I'll be starting my 20th year, so I guess I had 11 years as an assistant at Gordo, and then I just finished my 8 years as a head coach. And since I've been the head coach, we've been in 3A South. And anybody that's been around 3A South knows – you know, there's a lot of great teams down there, and we played a lot of them. So we were prepared as far as for playing anybody, you know, period, to me, because, I mean, we've been playing good teams the whole time in that. So, you know, the challenges that we had last year, obviously, were the same ones that everybody had with COVID. And then, you know, and I thought we handled that very well. And actually, we didn't have a case of it on our team once the season started. You know, we had some contact tracing with some guys may have had to miss, but as far as someone with it, and I think I'd credit our kids with that, because we did a great job of, you know, with the mask and the social distancing and basically doing everything they had to do. And they were going to do it because they were scared to death they weren't going to get to play. So they didn't complain. They did it, and kind of I think it made us more disciplined, to be honest with you. But, you know, we also faced an issue with our field being – you know, they had started a project to give us turf, and Coach Lasher, know our field was, you know, when it got in the playoff time or any time after pretty much October, you know, with the time change and the, you know, the rain and everything like that, we had a lot of drainage issues, and we had decided to do something about it, or some people in our community and our school and everyone decided to do something about it, and it was going to go with turf, and then we kind of got held up a little bit on our project. So we didn't have a home game at all last year. We played in our 8 miles down the road at Pickens County High School. So, you know, there were some different challenges there too, as well as moving up a class, you know, with COVID and everything. But, you know, our kids never complained about that. They're just so glad that we were getting to play, because we didn't know if anybody was going to play anything last year. So,
that's right. Coach, tell us a little bit about you.
You know, sir, go ahead.
Go ahead, buddy. I didn't mean
to. No, I just thought us, you know, I think the what now, what mentality is kind of what we preach, whatever happened, you know, hey, so what now, what you going to do about it? Because if you get caught up in self-pity, you're going to be sitting there because don't nobody really care if you're, you know, feel sorry for yourself or not. And I think kind of
that's
why this game is so special, and it prepares you for life. And it's I'm just, you know, blessed to be getting to do it every day. And I know, Coach, you understand that. It's our jobs. They're special. They're unique. And we get to be around people we love every day. And, you know, that's what our job is. So, anyway, yeah, that's kind of
Coach, we got
deal about for as far as last year is moving up to 4A and with all the challenges that we had.
You know, we got about 2 minutes left to go, Coach. I wanted to ask you just give us a quick sketch of what your season looks like or what you guys are looking like for this coming fall.
All right. You know, we lost a lot of great players. I feel like we got a lot of great players back. You know, it's going to be one of those things, kind of like anybody else. We're going to have to stay healthy, you know, but that goes all the way up to the pros. If they don't stay healthy, that you know, they'll have a tough time as well. But we feel like we have a lot of, you know, a lot of guys back that can, you know, help us be successful. You know, we've got the guys that have the work ethic instilled in them to be the very best they can be. They were leaders on our football team last year, and I think that they will help carry over, you know, with our guys, our up-and-coming young guys, to help make us be the very best that we can possibly be. You know, obviously the guy that everybody talks about, our quarterback's back. You know, he's committed to Oregon. He's back, and he's a great leader for our football team. We have an outside linebacker, DB, and also he plays in the slot, plays the H-back, can play anywhere. But Ben Capps is back with us, and he's going to be a senior. We expect a lot of big things out of him and Lawson Neal. He's a free safety, wide receiver, H, and also he handles the punting and things like that. So those guys, along with Will Spain and Ikelton Bird and some other guys like that, Rayshon Williams, he's going to be a junior, but he was our running back last year. So we got some guys back that we feel like we can, you know, have a lot of success with. They're sold out to working hard. We started last week. So we got 2 weeks in, and we feel like everybody's, you know, on the same page, and everybody's got the same goal. We just got to show up and work every day, and know if we do that, we got to envision what we want to do. We got to, you know, see ourselves doing the things that are our goals, and figure out how we're going to do it, and, you know, put our foot on the gas and do it every single day, and not be comfortable and complacent. You know, last year doesn't mean anything. We're on a new page, so we're excited. I love this time of year, getting back and getting in the grind and working so hard, and I love being around our players, so it's fun.
Coach, we really appreciate you, Ryan, for joining us for a few minutes this morning and telling us a little bit about Gordo, and hope you have a great summer and a great season, and we wish you all the very best, buddy.
Hey, thanks for letting me be on there. Appreciate it.
There you go. Coach Ryan Lolly, the head football coach for the Green Wave of Gordo. And the quarterback he's talking about is Tanner Bailey, who is committed to Oregon. And, boy, this good-looking kid, 6'1", 195. Yeah, there's been a couple of names, okay, out of that Gordo program. All right, if you're an Alabama fan, you remember one. How about Wayne Davis, and then Ben Davis. All right, correct. We got to see Ben when we were up there in 2015.
Great athlete.
Yeah.
You know, things just didn't quite work out for him the way he wanted to at Alabama, but, man, what a great athlete he was.
You know, that's quite a feat for Coach Lolly to be able to go from Classification 3A, which he had said he'd been in for pretty much 20 years, and then you step into 4A and you get Coach of the Year. That's pretty nice.
You don't have a home game?
And you're not playing at home. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. All right, hey, look, let's take our final timeout of this hour as we're going to speak with a good friend of ours. He is the co-host of our show, Southern Fairways Golf Show, Danny Spivey. He is up next. Don't go anywhere. This is PSR.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
Oh, my goodness. What is talked about between breaks is pretty good, isn't it?
It is good. You can't beat it.
Hey, and you can't beat this right here. Little Boss Gags bringing us back on PSR. Welcome back. I'm Randy Bergen sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland. Of course, Coach Mark Glasser hanging out with us. And glad to have you with us on a beautiful Saturday morning as we talk prep sports right here on PSR. And you know what? We talk golf on Sundays. Same bad stations. You can tune in to Southern Fairways Golf Show, where you will hear me, and you'll hear this guy right here, my podgy, Danny Spivey, hanging out with us. Danny, how you doing, my brother?
Guys, good morning to you, and kind of fun to get up. Well, I wouldn't say I got up early this morning. I got up my regular time, but I've been listening to you guys, and everything sounded great.
Well, we appreciate that for sure. Mark pulled up. I'm going to do something that is going to be a first on PSR. Are you ready for this, Coach?
I'm always ready.
I'm going to, in just a few just a few short words. I'm going to give you some Spanish, and I'm going to give you some French. Okay?
Awesome.
Are you ready for this? Because we're broadcasting today. Here comes the Spanish from La Casa. Here's the French. Bourgeois. La Casa Bourgeois. Anyway, when you were pulling up over here today, I told Danny, you'll love this. I looked at Mark and I said, man, coach has got to get that knee better. Just getting up this early on a Saturday morning. that's my sleep in time, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very familiar with the Casa Bourgeois. You know, just wondering if there's some food at the Casa Bourgeois this morning.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk some food here in just a few moments as we're visiting with Danny Spivey. Danny played 4 years at the University of Alabama on the golf team. His coach, his brother, Dick Spivey, who was there, the men's coach for 14 years, if I'm correct on that, and the women's coach for 5 years. And Danny right now going on, and coach, did you have something you wanted to mention to Danny real quick or? Okay, because I want to
do, and I've already forgot what it was.
I'll remind you.
You talk about that senile problem I got going here.
Right.
Lord have mercy.
I'll remind you what it is in just a moment. But hey, they got a big tournament going on up in Birmingham. It's the 105th Alabama State Amateur Championship, and you look down this list, and this kid Connor Newton, who is from Auburn, 11 under. I mean, he was almost flawless the last two rounds, Danny. He's playing some good golf.
No, he really is. And, you know, like I said, that Pine Tree Country Club up in Birmingham is a tough test to golf. And I'm sure they have the Bermuda Rough up, and they do have bent greens up there. And so they have the fans going. So everything's playing real tough. I talked to a couple guys, you know, about the course setup. They said it was very fair, but it was tough. And that's what you see when you have the state's best amateur players. Connor Newton, obviously, just playing some really good golf with 66-65 to par 71, so he's 11 under. And then right behind him, you know, there's the number two ranked junior in the entire country, Gordon Sargent, who played for Mountain Brook, just finished up his 6A individual title, state title, along with Mountain Brook, another Mountain Brook state high school championship title in the boys division. And, you know, and then a couple other guys, Sheldon Stockiewicz, from Mobile, a very, very, very good player. I've played with him a couple times, and he's right there at six under. And I'll tell you, you know, I was real proud, even though some of these young men from down here did not make the cut. Plus four was the cut yesterday after 36 holes. But some of the young ones, I mean, eighth, ninth graders over the Mobile area. And I'm sure, Coach, you're familiar. You know, of course, he plays for you, Cole Comiotti. He's going to be a senior coming up at Bayside this year. Cole had an unbelievable, qualifying 65 at Magnolia Grove, made it to the state amateur. Did not play very good, but that's okay. And then a couple other young, Michael Crocker and Ken Brown, a couple other young players, Tyler Bjorn from down at Gulf Shores. All these are high school players. And so it's just great to see some of these younger players as they move into the college ranks here in a couple years, getting some good state competition experience under their belt.
Yeah, you know, and I agree I completely with that. There is a kid that plays at Alabama right now, JBK from Mobile. He's at 200, so he's got a little work to do, a T9 right now. But yeah, you know, and that's the thing. There's a lot of good golfers around this area. And coach, you get to see that quite a bit as being the head golf coach for Bayside.
You know, I get to watch a lot of good kids play this game, and it's a lot of fun to watch them play. I've enjoyed watching them grow.
Right.
Like, I've enjoyed watching Danny's boy Jackson grow. Yeah. I saw him this year, and I hadn't seen him because I don't think we saw him last year during COVID. I don't remember seeing him. So it'd been 2 years since I laid eyes on him. I was like, man, this kid's filled out. He's turned into a little man, you know. My goodness. And, man, what a good player he's turning out to be. But Dan, tell us a little bit about the future Masters coming up in a couple of weeks over at the Dothan Country Club.
Yeah.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, this is the time of the year, guys, that really everything, once summer starts, and now that we're kind of, I guess we're back to normal. There's still some things going on with COVID, as we all know. But, you know, when it comes to junior golf, one of the biggest tournaments of the year is over at the Future Masters over in Dothan. It's been going on for a long, long, long time. And the families that have run and embraced these players over the years. It's just been tremendous. It's an experience instead of just a golf tournament. Now, you have to be a pretty good little junior golfer. There is qualifying that gets into it. There's an application you have to get into it. But it's produced some really, really good players over the years. And you can just look down the list over the years, guys like Stuart Singh, good friend of Randy and I that comes on our show. He was very successful in the Future Masters, being from Alabama. The players from all over the world, from overseas, from Canada, from, you know, throughout the country, descend to Little Dothan, Alabama, to Little Dothan Country Club, to battle for 8-foot trophies. You know, these trophies, right. I love them. I love hardware. You know that, Randall. So do you.
And, absolutely.
There's nothing better than seeing a 10 or 12-year-old young boy or girl sitting there with about a 4-foot trophy. I mean, it's just, it's a great thing.
Yeah, it really is. A visit with Danny Spivey, co-host of our show on Sundays, Southern Fairways Golf Show. You can hear on these same stations. Be sure and tune in. Tomorrow is, I got to tell you, I'll let the cat out of the bag. It is a encore edition from last week because we will be playing in a GCGA event tomorrow. So it is from last week's show, but it was a good one. So you'll want to tune in beginning at 11 o'clock. Danny, we got about a minute and a half left here. I wanted to get into some tips, but we're not going to be able to do that. So I'm going to turn real quick. And as I mentioned, you're an executive chef, okay? And that's something that you and, well, my little lady have in common. That's why I asked Coach, is there any food there? Because whenever he comes over, she always cooks. Of course, that's Thai food. And, yeah. And Danny, what is going to be – what you got on the grill? What you cooking today, my man?
Well, it's so funny. Both you and Coach Lasser know, when you drive around any country road down here in Alabama – you see the crops starting to grow, and we see corn growing right now. One of my favorite things to do, it's so easy to do, is just grill corn, you know, put a corn on the grill, that fresh, sweet corn. Some people like to do it in a huff. Some people don't, but here's a quick recipe for you. Go ahead, chuck that corn. Some people want to soak it in water. No need to do that. Just throw it on a medium-hot grill, charcoal, gas, whatever you want, and just lather that thing with some melted butter. Cook it about 20 minutes, kind of rotate it so it doesn't burn. But here's the kicker, Randall.
You got to hurry, 5 seconds.
In a separate bowl, put some grated Parmesan cheese, fresh cilantro, your favorite barbecue rub. Mix all that up.
Dan, we got to go, brother.
Roll it in there and eat it, buddy.
There you go. That sounds great. All right, Danny Spivey. Hey, don't go anywhere. We've got awesome. More of the Press Sports awesome. Report coming up. That is awesome.
It's time for the Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
I got to tell you, I love that, okay? Being called Coach Rick Cleveland, it's a pretty big shoes to fill, both literally and figuratively.
Yes, they are big shoes. I don't even get around it with my feet.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, presented by Alpha. I am Randy Bergen, sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland. And again, we're really hoping for a speedy recovery for you, Coach, and getting your knee back to where it needs to be so you get out there and play some golf with us to start off with. But, of course, Coach Mark Lasseter here with us. And, Coach, I have to tell you, I am so excited about this segment right here. It's the new Legends segment on the Prep Sports Report, and we are about to go to the phones and talk with a true coaching legend, the winningest coach in Alabama high school football history. 345 wins, I believe is the correct number there. 49, okay. And we're going to talk with Coach Buddy Anderson right now. Coach, how you doing, pal, and thanks for being on the show. All right, let's see. Coach, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Good morning, Coach. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Doing very good, pal. We appreciate you joining us this morning on our radio show here in Mobile and Baldwin County. And we just wanted to have you on, Coach, and talk to you about your career a little bit. And, of course, your career was most of it was there at Vestavia Hills. But would you take a minute or two and kind of give us a little background, Coach, where you grew up, where you went to high school and college, and kind of get us up, because I don't think I even know that, where you went to high school.
Well, I grew up in Thomasville, Alabama, and it was a great place to live, and it was like when I grew up there, my brother and I have talked. I have an older brother, and we've talked about it many times. We grew up in Mayberry. It was
right.
It was a unique town, and I loved growing up there. I was fortunate enough to go on to Samford and play football at Samford. I get an education by doing that. I played there 4 years, and we're actually the last team I played on. We're going to have our 50th anniversary. Won the Division II National Championship in 1971. This year we'll have our 50th reunion. That's hard to believe, but we will. Anyway, after Samford, God called me to be a coach January 12th, 1968. I know where I was. I mean, there was no bolt of lightning, no audible voice, but God spoke to my heart. He wanted me to be a high school coach, and I had no idea what that was going to look like and didn't have any, you know, I just knew what he had called me to do. And my dad had been a high school coach for 31 years, and he did his best to talk me out of being a coach. And finally, when I convinced him that God had called me to do this, he said, all right, I'm going to give you some advice. And first thing was, he said, what do you want to teach? And I said, well, I like to play. I want to major in physical education. He said, well, you better get you something you can teach. He said, you better get certified in something else. So I got certified in math and PE, and most of my career I taught math, and I enjoyed it, teaching math, something he had done, but I didn't teach the upper level math like he did, but I enjoyed teaching it. But that's what I did as far as the teaching part. And the coaching, I applied at several. The other thing my dad said, a rolling rock doesn't gather too much moss. I said, he said, find you somewhere and put down some roots. You know, you don't just go from here to here to here to here. I said, yes, sir. And of course, I didn't know. I mean, as an 18-year-old kid, I didn't know what that looked like. But when I was graduating from Samford, I applied at a lot of places for jobs, and the doors were shut. You know, just don't have a place, don't have a position, don't have a teaching position. And I ended up thinking, well, I'm going to go back to graduate school. And I was in the financial aid office trying to see how much money I could get to go toward graduate school. And one of my former teammates says, well, you tried Vestavia. And I said, no. He said, don't you remember three coaches were killed? And I'd forgotten all about it, even though it had been a traumatic thing that happened in August of 1971. I was my senior year at Samford. And I said, no, I hadn't tried. So I got Coach Armstrong, who had signed me at Samford, to call Mr. Howell, who was the principal. By the way, Mr. Howell is still living. He's 95 years old, still going strong. But Coach Armstrong called him, and I went to meet Coach Mutt Reynolds. And I'd heard about Coach Reynolds and never met Coach Reynolds. But as I sat down to talk to him, he never asked me about what I knew about an offense or a defense. He said, why do you want to coach? I told him that God called me to be a coach. January 12th, 1968. Coach Reynolds had a way of coming back to that same question in a different way, and he asked it in a different way. And I said, well, God called me to coach. Well, about 5 minutes later, he comes back to it again. He says, Coach, when you realize you're not going to make enough money to support your family, or you're going to have a hard time supporting your family on the money that you're making, what are you going to do? I said, I see myself coaching. God called me to coach. And he looked across the table and he said, you're the person I want to hire. And he never once asked me about an offense or a defense or a technique or anything.
Wow.
And so,
isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
1972, and I never dreamed I'd be at Vestavia that long, but basically I put down some roots, and I was there 49 years.
That is incredible. That is incredible. We're visiting with a true legend in high school football here in Alabama, the winningest coach, Coach Buddy Anderson, on with us right now. Coach, you mentioned the 49 years walking the sidelines of Vestavia Hills, which is something that I think nowadays is certainly unheard of.
It is.
Okay, and in all of that time, you've spent a lot of time. And I was talking with some folks and doing a little homework on you and all that. And the thing that comes down to one thing that a lot of folks know you by is your Wednesday nights and spending time with athletes at your house talking about the Bible.
Right. We've had an FCA Bible study at my house most of those 49 years. Not as much the early years, the first 6 years when I was assistant, the first two or three years we getting feet on the ground. My first FCA camp went to was 1973. And I went to 42 of those camps have been until they finally did away with the camp. But that was such a rewarding thing in my life. And I can't tell you how many kids now, not kids, grown men now, tell me, you know, the experience that they had. One right now has been deep prayer for he and his wife. His wife got the coronavirus, and she's now hopefully in the last few days have been taken out of intensive care, and she had a rough time. But he told me several years ago and said, just drop by my office and said, Coach, I'm fixing to be become a ordained a deacon in my church. And it all started when I became a Christian at Black Mountain.
Wow. You know, wow. We'll certainly keep her in our prayers for sure.
Absolutely.
I think about, you know, different plays that happened, different games, and of course I coached that kid in wrestling and in football. But you know, that's to me the greatest achievement that ever had to be a part of with him. And,
and Coach,
the Wednesday night Bible studies are just it's an amazing time, and so we look forward to it. Actually, we're still doing the even though I'm retired from coaching, we still have the Wednesday night Bible studies.
And I got to tell you, that's incredible. And the lives you've touched have been just outstanding. And Coach, we're going to take a quick timeout. And when we come back, we want to talk more about Vestavia Hills, about your career, and talk about some of the athletes.
Memorial moments.
Absolutely. We want to do all that coming up in just a few moments as we will continue with our Legends segment here on the Prep Sports Report. And Mark, you know, one of the things as we talk about this right now, rooted and grounded is something that folks, we all love coffee, and there's one place you can go where you can have prayer, you can gather together, you can have a Bible study, work meeting, whatever it may be. And it is Rooted and Grounded on Dolphin Street, 2754 Dolphin Street, Mobile, Alabama. You can check them out online at rngcoffeehouse.com. rngcoffeehouse.com. All right, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, the Legend segment, it continues, and we do it with a legend, Coach Buddy Anderson. Don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss the second half of this interview, I can promise you. This is the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen, sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland, of course, Coach Mark Glassiter here with us. Hey, do you need help in your business or family life with your state or national government? If so, please call our friend Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan, a member of the U.S. Congress for 30 years, has teamed up to put you in front of the right people in either Montgomery or Washington, D.C. It's all about relationships. And Braxton and Jimmy have those relationships in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C. Call Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. Of course, we're in our Legends segment, which is, I don't know that you can have anybody much more than a legend than this guy right here. 49 years, coached at Vestavia Hills, Coach Buddy Anderson. Mark?
Coach, in this segment, I want to kind of talk about some of the things that you remember the most or the most important things you felt like you saw happen in your coaching careers. It could be a game or whatever it is you think that are just some real memories for us that you could share with us.
Oh, well, at that vault is full of as far as memories and games and so forth. It's hard, you know, talking about one kid over the other is like talking one child over another one. You know, you got several children, there's one to your special son or daughter. It's hard to say to pick one. There's been many a games. Of course, the games that stand out are, I guess, would be state championship games, but I can remember one game, and probably I'll tell you about my favorite player I've ever had. Is a guy named Robbie Rukas, and nobody probably ever heard that name, but he was my favorite player of all times, and it's not because of his athletic ability, just because what he had to go through and how he wanted to play so bad. But the one game I'm talking about, we had won the state championship in 1980, and 2 years later, after the economy just fell completely flat and interest rates were 18%, I lost several players. Their dads had to move because of the economic crisis, and so we were depleted as far as athletes, and we started the season. We were getting Mountain Brook, one of our big rivals, beat us pretty good, but we kept working and getting better, and this kid was a sophomore on that team, and at one point, we were 0-7 after being state champions 2 years before. And, you know, I was a young coach at that time. I was at 32, I thought I was old, but he kept telling me, he said, "Coach, we're gonna win tonight. We're gonna win tonight." And we ended up winning a game against somebody we shouldn't have won, and we were going off field. He says, "Coach, I know exactly where we were." We said, "I told you we were. I told you we were gonna win tonight." We ended up winning two of the last three games, and we're playing real well. And the only game we lost was the eventual state champion by a couple of touchdowns. But Robbie Rukas, when he was in the seventh grade, found out he had cancer and went to Memphis, Tennessee, to St. Jude Hospital. When he came back, he was like white as a sheet and had lost about 40 pounds. And they said, "You got a 20% chance to live and an 80% chance of dying." And go back to that FCA Bible study. We were having a Bible study in my house, and a bunch of his older brother was playing for me at the time, and a bunch of the kids, and got him to come and his mom and dad to come, and we just had our normal Bible study, and we ended up having a prayer time and prayed for him. And we would go around and let whoever wanted to pray, and everybody prayed, and I didn't think he would pray, and it got to him, and he just belted it out and says, "Lord, I was ready to give up, but my friends are praying for me, and I'm going to make it." And sure enough, his eighth grade year, he ended up playing on our middle school play. Practice every play of August, knowing he had to go back to Memphis to get more treatment. He went two-a-days and loved every bit of the two-a-days and went to back to Memphis, came back and begged Coach Reynolds, who was coaching our middle school team at the time, to let him play one play. And Coach Reynolds said, "Get out here, wide receiver, right here on our sideline. When the ball snaps, you run off the field." Well, he didn't run off the field. He went out there and just tried to hit that defensive back as hard as he could. But that's just the way Robbie was. And the next year, as a ninth grader, went both ways on our ninth grade team and had gone from an 80% chance of dying to an 80% chance of living, 20% chance of dying. And then he had a lot of problems with separated shoulders, and we had to just strap his arms next to his body, and I would play him on whatever I could play him on. We had a special unbalanced line. He was that person to go in. He started loosening his straps, and his shoulders came out again. His dad had told him that the shoulders come out again, because I'd taken him to Dr. Houston over in Columbus, Georgia. There was no sports medicine back at that time in Birmingham, believe it or not, but Dr. Houston said it was that he couldn't afford to have the surgery because of this leukemia, the cancer he had. So we're practicing. It comes out. He had been loosening his straps. And we took him to the hospital, and he's I'm sitting there with a doctor. I'd call his dad to come over, dad and mom to come over. The doctor gave him a shot to relax and said, "Now look, he's allowed to say whatever's on his mind." So, oh goodness. And he just started crying and pleading with his dad, "Don't make me quit. Please, Dad, don't make me quit." And his dad was nowhere around. And in the midst of all that, his dad came in. His dad was crying. I'm crying. And, he ended up playing his senior year, the rest of his senior year. Graduated from high school. They didn't think he would. Went to college when was a semester away from graduating. The cancer came back. And his brother gave him a bone marrow transplant. And he just kept fighting. Cancer kept coming back, and he kept fighting it. Met a beautiful young lady. They got married. Weren't able to have children because of all his medical problems. But he had about 15 great years, they did. And he and then finally the cancer came back again and ended up had to take his leg off. And he still learned to walk with a prosthesis and lived about 5 more years. Finally, it got in his lungs and his liver. And it got the best of him. But he was just by far my most favorite player I've ever had because of all he had to go through. And he kept plugging away at it and just loved every bit of it. He'd call me or come by to see me or send me a note, you know, several times a year just to encourage me, just like he encouraged me that night in 1982. So Robbie Rookus is my favorite one of all.
That is a great story. There is no question about it. This has been our new segment, The Legends, and we've been talking with a true coaching legend, Coach Buddy Anderson from Vestavia Hills. Mark, we're about out of time here.
Coach, thank you for spending some time with us today, and you know what you mean in my life, and I just appreciate you and all that you've done and all you're still going to do, buddy, and we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Mark, and I still remember interviewing a young coach about a wrestling job back, I think it was probably about 82. And,
yes, sir.
And it came down between you and Steve Gadosh, and I ended up hiring Steve, and now he's in the High School Hall of Fame. So it's
you made the right choice. Thank you, Coach.
All right. Well, I'll
tell you what. Thank you, Coach. Boy, I tell you, that is great. And you know what gets me right there just listening to that interview is how Coach Anderson can go back and he knows the year, the dates. And, Mark, I got to be honest with you. If you asked me what happened a week ago, I probably couldn't tell you. But
I still can't remember. I was supposed to talk to Danny Spivey about a minute ago.
You were going to ask when they were moving to Daphne.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I should do that off the air.
That's right. No.
Just like Coach, he remembered. You and I were talking about that interview I told you about.
Right.
And he remembers 1982.
Yeah.
I mean, how does he remember that?
That's awesome.
And it was. They hired Steve Gadosh. And I ended up coaching wrestling against Coach Gadosh for years, and he and I became really good friends.
Coach Gadosh is in the he's in the Hall of Fame, and you're going to see Coach Mark Lasseter in the High School Hall of Fame at some point. I can promise.
They'll have to run out of people. I'll be the only one left.
All right, hey, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we are going to talk with Fairhope High School football coach Tim Carter. He's up next on PSR.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Break it on down, Coach. Break it on down. There you go.
I could listen to that all day long.
I am telling you. Hey, welcome back to Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen sitting in for Coach Rick Cleveland, and Coach Mark Lasseter is here. Hey, Premier Collision is your local auto body repair shop owned and operated locally in Mobile, Alabama. For all your auto body collision repairs, trust the experts at Premier Collision, your auto repair specialist. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, Alabama. Give our good friend Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. It is Premier Collision. All right, Coach, we are going to go back to our phone lines right now, and we're going to continue talking some high school football, and we're going to do it with a truly nice guy. I mean, one of the really, really nice guys here, and he is the head football coach for the Pirates of Fairhope, Coach Tim Carter. Coach, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Randy, how you doing? Mark, you doing good?
Man, yeah, brother, how you doing?
Woo, up and rolling on a Saturday.
You are rolling. I think you said you're on your way to Auburn today.
Well, we are. We're going up there. My daughter lives in Auburn, and we actually got a little service that's going to be held. Coach Messina, Vaughn Messina, our strength coach and O-line coach, his father passed away last year during the COVID, and we're going up for a celebration. And just want to everybody keep him in your thoughts. That was a real difficult thing for him to go through, losing his father, but what a great guy. He had retired. He was a member of the fisheries at Auburn University, and Vaughn told me one year when he retired, he fished 365 days that year. So
he was an avid
outdoorsman.
That's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that with us, and we'll be thinking about you all and their family today in our prayers. And the coach wanted to kind of get you on this morning to talk a little bit about football. No, you don't have to worry about so much. We're not hearing as much about COVID this summer, and moving into the summer preparation. What are you guys doing? What are you looking forward to this summer and heading into the fall? What are y'all's plans for the summer?
Well, you know, we go 3 days a week. I've done four before, but I think it's a little much on the kids and the coaching staff. So we go Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. We crank it up early. We get in there about 7 o'clock, and we're rolling. Get the boys out of there by about 10. But we've got a really good group of kids. We got 100 plus playing ball, and we've got about 35 seniors. So it's a good group of guys. I like them. We were really hit by graduation hard last year, but this group has really stepped up and showed some leadership. So it's been really good. But we got a tremendous challenge this year. We open with Spanish Fort again. We've got Daphne sitting there at week three, followed by Foley. So, Mark, you're well aware. That's three out of our first four, extremely difficult. So, it gets going quick.
Man, it sure does, and that is quite a lineup to start off with. Tell us a little bit about, you mentioned how graduation hurt y'all last year, and as far as losing a lot of kids, they move on in their lives and their careers. Tell us a little bit about some of the places. I know quarterback's one that everybody be looking for. There should be a lot of competition for that spot.
Well, matter of fact, we said goodbye to Riley Leonard last week. He's up there at Duke now and working with Coach Cutcliffe, and, we wish him the best. And Jerry Bethea and Kurt Lipscomb both going to play at West Alabama, and we're excited for them. So, and several more. Jason Jarrell's going to Birmingham Southern, and Ramon Bradley is going to play at Gulf Coast Junior College in Mississippi. So, we were hit pretty hard by graduation with some really good players gone. But we're really excited about, Caden Creel kind of stepped up and won our starting job at quarterback in the spring. He'll be a junior. Very athletic. You're probably familiar with Caden. He's a grandson of Vince Booth, Vince and Lynn Booth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, he's a basketball, football guy, very
right.
talented athlete, and a competitor. That's what I like most about Caden. A little bit different than Riley. Very athletic. And then, of course, our line, we've got some experienced kids coming back in our offensive line because, that's where it all starts. We've got Logan Landicek and Owen Vanderwall that are two returning starters, both with some collegiate potential, really good students and great leaders. But we also have Wesley Crabtree, Spencer Coleclasure, and Cooper Robeson, who all have a chance. They're all seniors, and that you like it when you've got good senior leadership. Oscar Sandiford's in there, so we just we're just trying to get a little bit better every day. And so, you know, I think it starts up front with those guys. And then got a couple experienced running backs coming back, Glenn Patrick and Quaylen McCants return. And then our starting H-back, Jackson Shores, is coming back. And we've got a senior behind him in Colton Brown. So, you know, we like our ability, hopefully, to be able to run the football. I think that's what you've got to be able to do, is be able to run the ball. And, you know, we've got a quarterback that's multi-dimensional. He can run and throw. And then we've got, you know, good O-line up front where it starts.
We're visiting with Coach Tim Carter, head football coach for the Pirates of Fairhope. Coach, you talk about that roster right there, and boy, it, pretty impressive having to start your first four games in the way you're talking about, our first three games. That's kind of what we in golf would use the term as a amen corner. Okay, yeah. It's kind of tough there. But talk about your coaching staff for just a moment.
Well, I'm very fortunate. We've been able to retain and keep guys through the years. Fairhope's a great place to be, and you don't have a lot of turnover, and really excited. Heading up our offense is Joel Williams. Joel, of course, a coaching legend. He's been around for years. He's coached collegiately. He's coached on the high school level, and he does a great job with our offense. And then Vaughn Messina, who's our assistant head coach, is our O-line guy. And Al Ernest, another familiar name. Al's been around Fairhope, coached in different arenas, and does a great job. We've got Coach Chuck Nelson, who is you know, been here at Fairhope. He was here when I got here, and he's been in Birmingham. Got a wealth of coaching experience. And then we've added Jamal Best. Jamal's a young coach, and gives us a little energy on that side of the ball. So, you know, I'm excited about that. On defense, I'm kind of heading up the defense. But I've got a lot of returning guys. I've got Rhett Horn and Blake McDonald. They've been with me since I've been here. They coach the defensive front. And then Coach Logan Smith, he's with our linebackers. And then Obi Watkins will help me in the secondary. So, you know, we're really excited. I told my wife I really like to feel our coaching staff. It's very family-oriented, and just got a good group of men.
You know, coaches, that's a big deal, not being able to keep your staff together, because the kids kind of get used to who they've got, and it really makes it simpler as you go into the summer to get ready to roll in it, as you go through all the things that you do to prepare for that first ball game. Tell us, are y'all playing any tournaments this summer, 7-on-7 or anything of that nature? We got about a minute and a half?
About a minute. Okay.
You mean that basketball on grass?
Yes, sir, buddy.
Yeah, we do. We play a little bit of it. Probably the most overrated thing in my coaching career has been 7-on-7. It's good. It's fun. The kids like it. But, you know, it's not very indicative of how you're going to be in the fall.
No.
And, you know, we're excited about it. It gives you a little bit of time, and it helps you in the secondary. If you'll play your schemes, you know, I see a lot of people
right.
go in there and they just play man coverage with two over the top. I don't know how much
yes.
that helps you when it's not what you do defensively. So,
correct.
You know, it's good. We go to Daphne in July. We're going to Foley here at the end of this month. And, again, I say the kids get excited about it. And it does add a little of the monotony of the summer. I think it's a positive thing. I do want to mention our kicking game. I want to mention Luke Freer. I think he's a guy that's probably a little below the radar due to COVID. I think he's the best kicker in Alabama. He's got an offer to West Point right now, but that's one thing. You know, kicking game is extremely important, and we're fortunate enough to have him back for his senior year, and he's a big old kicker at 6'2", about 210. So I think that's a name you need to probably make a note of, because he's going to be his ball won't end with high school.
Coach, I'll tell you, our time is up. It has been a pleasure having you on. Thank you for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning to join
you
us right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Have a wonderful weekend, man. And I hope Rick
you
gets
too,
better
soon.
All right, brother.
Be safe, pal.
There you go. Coach Tim Carter, the head football coach for the Pirates of Fairhope. Great guy. And
great,
I'll tell you, if we talk about coaching, and we talk about how it impacts. Okay, it's not just the player; it's their personal life. Right. Okay, and being surrounded by coaches like that just affects you down the road.
None of us know what happens after 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock the next morning.
Right,
you don't know. They go home. Some have great home lives. Some not as good. So, you know, to know that and be a part of their personal life is huge.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? The next segment coming up, the faith segment, has something to do. That kind of little segue right there, Coach.
Yeah, it does. And we're going to talk about dads and fathers a little bit today and next week. I think it's an important topic, and there's going to be some ways that this fits in with coaching and how coaching is a part of it and how to be a player under a coach and how to be a coach over the player, same as it is at home. Dad and sons and dads, or daughters and dads, whatever it is, it's a vital link in our society that I think we got to do a really good job, a better job of being dads.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got to tell you, I just reflected there for just a second on me playing high school football. All right, and I remember my coach. We're not going to get into any names or anything. I remember that we were playing in the first round of the playoffs at Ladd People Stadium against Murphy, and I was the holder, okay, second string holder. First string guy got hurt. Coach, we scored right before half.
Time and he to comes shine.
In. Yeah, well, I didn't. I didn't, okay? And he probably never wanted to play me again. He said, I will never play you again. I didn't see a whole lot of action after that.
Yeah, well.
Hey, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, it is the faith segment. Coach Mark Lasser's got you set up for that. Don't go anywhere. This is PSR.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning, we'll talk a little bit about being a dad, being a father. Father's Day is 2 weeks off. So this week and next Saturday, I'm going to talk about being a dad. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about my dad and about what my dad did for me and who my dad is to me today after all these years. I'm going to be 62 this summer, and my daddy's 86, turned 86 not long ago. We got to go up and visit him. Due to COVID, we hadn't seen my mom and dad for over a year. And so it was a real treat to get to go up and visit with him and mom for a few days back in April. And I think I take that for granted. You know, I think I take it for granted sometimes about what my dad is about to me. I remember one time, my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher for 50 years when moving around the country. We went from Alabama, a couple places in Alabama, to Fort Worth, Texas, to St. Louis, Missouri. We traveled around a little bit, and Dad was a Southern Baptist preacher. Well, being a Southern Baptist preacher, you know, there are certain beliefs that Dad has that not everybody in the house was going to abide by. And believe it or not, I was a bit of a rebellious child.
There is no way I can believe that.
I'm just telling you. I don't know where that came from, but I was. And I gave my dad a lot of heartache as a young man, when, especially coming through, I think probably through my 8th, 9th, 10th grade years, a little bit into my 11th and 12th grade year, but not as much. But just always trying to rebel. I didn't want to just be the little church preacher's kid. I wanted to fit in at school, and I didn't realize I could without doing anything but what I was supposed to do.
Sure.
But, you know, I had to go out there and push the envelope, and so I got in trouble. Well, there was one period in my life, I think I was a sophomore, and I was really, really giving mom and dad trouble. I was lying, sneaking out, you know, not coming home on time, not being where I was supposed to be. The only thing that mattered to me was having a good time with my friends and playing sports, and my grades suffered because I just wanted to keep enough to get by so I could play sports. I didn't really care what kind of grades they were. and all that stuff. And mom and dad were teaching a whole different game at home, but I wouldn't listen. I don't know why. I have no idea why to this day. But I'll never forget one night, and my dad believed back then, this was 1974, I believe, and my dad believed in that old saying that you spare the rod and spoil the child. He believed in that. And so we got spankings when we were not behaving. And it wasn't beatings. It was a spanking. And usually with a paddle or a belt. He quit using his hand because it started hurting too bad. So he's used a belt. Anyway, so, and it, you know, and usually it was like three or four licks and sure. That was it, you know. But I remember one night I had been in trouble. It was like consecutive weeks, something I had gotten in trouble for. I mean, bad trouble. Dad was sitting in the chair when I came through the door, you know. That's not a good feeling.
No.
You know, oh, Lord, I didn't sneak in. I didn't get. But anyway, so Dad tells me, he says, son, come on in here. We're going to have to get you disciplined. I said, yes, sir. And I knew what was coming, so I go in there, took my wallet out of my pants and, you know, leaned over the edge of the chair and got ready to take my four or five licks, whatever it was. And Dad said, no, hold up, son. Hold up a minute. He said, I'm going to take this one for you. And my dad gave me the paddle.
Wow.
And he said, I want you to, he goes, I'm going to take you four licks for you tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
So I want you to hit me four times. That was the hardest thing I've ever done. I cried. I was shaking. I couldn't hit my daddy. I could not do it. And he just kept on. We were in there for an hour and a half. And finally, I had four passable. He wasn't going to stop until I had swung that paddle four times. And I couldn't do it. And he turned around and he told me, he says, you know, I always tell you, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I hope you understand now what I'm talking about. And he says, I don't discipline you just to discipline you. I discipline you because I love you. And you've got to learn from your mistakes. And you're making mistakes right now, and they're going to add up, getting you in a lot of trouble if you're not careful. I'll never forget that. I won't ever forget that. The rest of my life, the most meaningful disciplinary thing ever happened to me was that. And that, did that change me to make me turn into Mr. Good Boy? No. I did better. But I still was Mark, and Mark's going to do what Mark wanted to do. But never was it. As bad as those days, never again. And my life changed because of it. I began to listen, and I finally figured out, you know, when I was 15, 16 years old, my dad didn't know anything. He could not, he didn't know anything about how the world really worked. He didn't. When I got to 25, he may be the smartest man on this planet because everything he told me came true, everything. He told me came true. And it's all because my father loved me more than anything else. He loved me, my brothers and my sister. He loved our family. Did Dad do everything right? No. He did the best he could. And he did a great job raising our family. I listened to Buddy Anderson talk about his daddy and what his daddy taught him.
Right.
You know, and he said, I didn't really get it, but he listened. And look what happened with Buddy Anderson. And all of us have these stories. And so my dad still, he just texted me during this show and said, call me when you get done. Just want to hear your voice. I love you.
Wow.
One day that's going to be gone. You know, I'm not going to
get
that.
We take it for granted.
Yes, we do, buddy. And, man, I'm just going to, if my dad's out there listening, I love you. And thank you.
Well, you done it again, Mark. You done it again. Wow, what a story. What a story. I got to tell you, man, that is a special. Yeah. That is special.
It is.
And listen, that one little phrase right there, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. Never comes, you really never understand what that means until you have to, and that's what your dad taught you.
Yeah.
Let's do a little role reversal here for a minute, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Man, oh, man. I got to tell you, It is always a pleasure to sit here with you and be a part of the Prep Sports Report. Of course, we're looking forward to Coach Cleveland coming back, getting his knee right so he can come back and keep this ship going in the right direction.
That's right.
I'll get it going in different directions here. But, you know, it's been fun today to have a great, great guest on.
Oh,
Coach Ryan Lolly, the head football coach for the Green Wave of Gordo. Great to have him on. Danny Spivey, co-host of our show, Southern Fairways Golf Show, and, of course, a true coaching legend, Coach Buddy Anderson. Man, great to talk with him. And, of course, Coach Tim Carter of Fairhope High School. Mark, have a great day. Tell your dad we love him, and he did a pretty doggone good job.
Thank you,
okay?
Buddy. I will.
All right,
appreciate
man.
You.
Hey, look, thanks for hanging out with us right here on PSR. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Until then, remember, God bless America. Hit a knee and say a prayer. I'm Randy Bergen for the whole staff. Bye-bye, everybody.